Hallelujah. Hello, family. How are you guys doing? Yes, you are a family to me. I come more often here than any other place. So you're my family now. My church is getting jealous. They're asking, do we still have a pastor? Because I'm traveling so much. And I say, it's the people in Shah Alam. They keep calling me back. Sister Betty. I'm so happy to be with you again. I'm so happy to be here. Are you expecting something from the Lord? I'm always expecting. God wants to do so much more than anything that we can think and ask for. And sometimes our minds are so narrow and we expect so little of the awesome God that we serve. We come in service after service and we just stop expecting. We think it's going to be the same thing every time. And we need just to open up our minds. Can we just lift our hands just a moment now and open our hearts and let God be God. Father, we just love you. We were lost in darkness and you found us. And you brought us home. And we are so grateful for the love that you have lavished on us. Father, you have made us into a family out of every tribe, every tongue, every nation of the earth. We are your church. And you have made us and you are making us into the bride of your Son. And we are so pleased and privileged to be a part of something eternal. God, we are grateful this morning. And we would just want to thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. And God, we would like to also lift up our thirst, our hunger for you, and ask you for more. Not that you haven't done enough, Lord, but we have not received everything that you have prepared for us. And we know there is so much more. Lord, we call upon the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we ask for more. Lord, more for our church. More for the city. More for this nation, God. More for our lives, our family. Especially more of you. More of your power. More of your presence. More of your word. Oh God, we just welcome you this morning. We thank you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit upon us. We yield to you, God. You gave everything up for us. Lord, we yield to you. And we thank you because you're blessing us right now. Amen. Amen. Let us open the Word of God this morning in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from verse 12 to verse 21. I'm not trying to put a song in your head, but my title for this morning is Let It Go. I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 21. Not that I have already obtained this, or am I already perfect? But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Such a great man of God, Paul was. He'd done so many things for God to the point where he's writing this epistle. He'd planted churches all over Europe. He'd seen miracles. He'd seen God do great things. His life was so powerfully transformed by encountering Christ. And yet he says, "Brothers, I have not reached perfection." I'm always amazed at these men of God in the Bible who have experienced such incredible things with the Lord, but they are still hungry for more. I'm reminded of Moses. I know of no one else who encountered God in such a glorious and powerful way. He saw miracles, signs and wonders beyond understanding, and yet he stood in the presence of God and he said, "Lord, show me your glory. God, I'm hungry for more." All these men of God, I'm jealous of them. I wish that I could have experienced 1/10 of the things that they saw. But they were standing before God, hungry for more. "God, show me your glory." And Paul says here that he is striving onwards, leaving behind the things of the past. Because he is trying to answer the call, the upward call of Christ Jesus. And he is not satisfied yet. He wants more of God. And he tells us in this scripture, those of us who are mature think this way. A mature Christian is hungry for more of God and always ready to leave behind the things of the past. Whether they be good things or bad things, a Christian is called to step out into the deeper places of God. You are called as a church to step out into deeper waters. In the season that has just passed, many things have changed in your congregation. But many of these things were outside of you. Things have been changing in the structure of the church, in the way of doing the service. I mean, even in the colors and the lights. Many things have changed in the church. And I'm really happy to see these things happen. But I have a feeling in my heart that God is calling us as a people to catch up and to change as well. God has been changing the wineskin of your church, but now he wants new wine in the wineskin. And you cannot be expecting somebody else to change when you are the one God is calling to change. God is calling you, and I'm preaching to you specifically as a person this morning. And I would like you not to think of somebody else and thinking that this message might apply to somebody else. Don't think it applies to your wife or to your husband. I'm speaking to you as a person. God is calling you to step out into deeper waters of intimacy with Christ. To let go of the things of the past, whether they were good or not good. God is calling you into deeper things. And that is a sign of maturity that you are now willing, that you are thirsty for deeper things. Are you thirsty for deeper things? Just show me your hand. Who is thirsty for more of God? Really thirsty. Okay, what are you doing about it? Because if you're thirsty and you're not doing anything about it, nothing is going to happen. When we are truly thirsty, something changes inside of us. And nothing will satisfy us unless we encounter the living God. As the deer pants for the water brook, my soul pants for you, O Lord. In South Africa, where I grew up, in the northwest, there is a people called the Bushmen. Maybe you've heard of those people. They speak in a click language. They go... Maybe you've watched the movie about them. The gods must be crazy. And they have this way of finding water that I find really interesting. You see, they catch a baboon. You don't have any baboons here. I saw monkeys on the side of the road yesterday. But they catch a baboon and they feed him salt. And baboons, they're not used to eating salt, so they eat a lot of it. And they keep eating it because it's like a sweet to them. And after a while, the baboon gets really thirsty. And so they set him free and they follow him. And the baboon will always find a place where there's water, even in the wilderness. You see, when you are really thirsty, you will find water somewhere. Your soul will begin to cry out to the living God. And God is waiting for you to reach that place of desperate thirst of Him. Sometimes I find myself saying, God, I thirst for you. God, I'm hungry for you. But if I'm truly honest, I should say, God, I'm not really thirsty at all. God, I barely love you. You know, sometimes we speak empty words. God, I worship you. God, I love you. But it's no deeper than the words that we speak. Sometimes I have to say to the Lord, God, I don't love you. I'm ashamed to tell you that, but God, I want to love you more. I don't love you like you deserve to be loved. God, I'm not thirsty anymore. Something has happened to my soul. Maybe I filled my soul up with other things, but God, I am not hungry. Make me hungry again. And every time I have asked the Lord to make me hungry again, He does that. It takes a few days, it takes a few weeks, but suddenly I sense in my spirit a longing for the presence of God. You see, if you do not have that longing inside of you, you will not search for His presence. You will not spend any time with Him. You will start your day and say, Father, I give you this day. Bless this day. Hallelujah. Amen. And then you will spend the rest of your day taking care of your business without even the slightest thought for the Lord. But when God has given you the gift of thirst and hunger, spiritual thirst and hunger, you spend your whole day longing for His presence, longing for His glory. And you can't wait for a time where you can just shut yourself away from the world to stand with Him in His intimacy, in His presence. God wants us to step out into deeper waters with Him. Paul had a lot to lose when he encountered Christ. He was one of the best Pharisees of his time. He studied in the best university of that day, under the best teacher there was. And he was even being promoted by all the leaders. He was going to be a great man of God, as far as Israel's standards were. But he says in this very chapter, I count all these things as loss to me, just so that I can gain Christ. Just for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. Christ. I count everything as loss. And in this chapter, Paul says, brothers, I want you to imitate me. Imitate me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to this example that you have in me. That's what Paul says. Because Paul is a hungry person. He's thirsty for the glory of God. You know, the more you've experienced God's glory, the more you desire it. And it will be given to you. But people who have never encountered God, they don't know what they're missing. And so they are not thirsty. I just pray that God will give you such a powerful encounter that you would not be able to sleep for 3 days. As happened to me a couple of times. I have had to say to the Lord, God, leave me alone. Let me sleep. Because sometimes the presence of God comes down when I'm just getting ready to sleep. And my poor wife sleeping next to me has to wake up every 5 minutes because I'm just arms lifted up. I'm sighing and praising God in my bed because the glory of God comes down. And then my heart starts to yearn and burn inside of me. And something starts to change inside of me. I love those times, those moments when God reaches out towards me. And I've realized that God really loves me. He desires me far more than I desire Him. He desires you just as much. But many of you are very distracted by your lives and you are not paying attention that God is stretching out His arms towards you day and night and He's screaming to you, oh, won't you know me more? Don't you want to know me more? How come you are content with being saved? I have so much more in store for you than just salvation. Salvation, receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is only the first step of stairs that reach all the way up to heaven. God is calling us into deeper waters with Him. Please don't let the outside of the church be the only thing that is changing in this season. This is a time where our hearts need to change, where something needs to happen inside of us. Oh God, I pray that you would give these baboons salt to eat. And give me some, I need some myself. We need to let go of yesterday. We need to let go of the past. Paul teaches us his secret. He says, I do one thing. I let go of the past and I reach out to grasp the future, the destiny that I have in Jesus Christ. Many of us, it is what we have lived, experienced yesterday that is preventing us from entering into our future, from entering into the new dimension of God's presence in our lives. In your past, there can be good things, victories even, or bad things that happened to you that have been holding you back. And God is calling you to let it go and to enter into a new season. This is a time where you are going to have to let go of the things you have known, of the people maybe you have been living with in the past season. This is a time for change. Some of you are going to have to change a lot of things if you want to enter into this new season. But it's been holding you back. And some of you have been suffering. And you've been asking, what is happening to me, God? Why am I struggling like this? What did I do? And God is saying, it's growing pains. You are growing and it's hurting. Because you are being called to leave the things that are holding you back. And to step out into a new dimension of intimacy with me. And you know what many times we try to do? We try to sit in our past and to pull the future towards us. And we pull the future and we call upon the Lord. God, give me my destiny in you. God, give me the purpose. Give me the things that you have promised me. And God says, stop pulling. Come out of there and step into your future. And then some of us, we don't do that. We do the opposite. We're trying to go towards the future that God has prepared for us, but we're dragging our past behind us, with us. We're trying to keep the things that we were yesterday, the things that we had yesterday, the habits, the behavior, the mindset, the emotions, the experiences of yesterday. We don't want to release them. We're holding on and we're saying, yes, Lord, I'm coming. But you're dragging your past behind you and it's stopping you from entering into the new dimension that God has for you. You have to let it go. If you want to grow, you have to accept change. And to change, you need to let the past go. Every time in my life, when God has changed me and brought me into a new dimension of His presence, I have always had to let go of something. Every single time. And every single time I found myself clinging to something of the past. It could be a relationship. It could be a way of thinking. Sometimes it's an emotion. Dwelling on bitterness, on resentment, on something that happened to you. An idea, what you think you are, the person you think you are. God knows you better than you know yourself. On Saturday, we are going to be doing a prophetic activation session. Some people here think they know who they are and what they're called to do. God has much more in store for you than what you think. And many times, what we think about ourselves is preventing God from making us enter into the new dimension with Him. Many times in my life, I've had to say, God, you know me better than me. If you say so, it must be true. Even if I don't know it, even if I don't feel it, even if my family doesn't believe it, if you said it, Lord, it must be true. And I'm going to say it, I'm going to pray it, I'm going to declare it over my life. Whatever you say, God, I am who you say I am. You know that song? I am who you say I am, Lord. And it's so hard to believe sometimes because the past just clings to you. And I've had many times to come in the presence of God and say to Him, Lord, help me. I want to step out of my past. I want to enter into the future. But I don't know how. I cannot change myself. Come and help me, Lord. Every single time He came and He set me free. He released me from my way of thinking, from my emotions, sometimes from relationships. When I was 19 years old, I just freshly come to Jesus, but I had been dating a girl for 4 years, and she hated Jesus Christ, really hated Him. And I loved that girl so much, so much. I said, Lord, I cannot give up on her. I want her to serve you, Lord. I'm not going to give up on her. If you don't want her in my life, you better take her away from me. Careful what you pray for. Not 2 weeks later, this young man came and seduced her, and she left me. It hurt so much. It hurt so much. It felt like my heart was being torn out of my chest. And then God told me, I asked you to release her, but you didn't want to. So I had to tear her away from you. And this is why you are suffering. You know, if you are willingly sacrificing to God out of obedience, it is less painful than when God has to tear that thing out of your life because you didn't want to release it into His hands. That's the story of my life. My body is covered in scars from head to toe of all the places where God had to tear something out of my life. Many times, because I'm a stubborn person. God can use stubborn people. If you're stubborn, God can use you. You'll just have to suffer more than the others do. Just Let it go. He knows better than you. And every time I've let something go, my life changed drastically. The day that girl left my life, I was 19, is the day I started prophesying. That same day, the Spirit of God started speaking to me. The day before, nothing. And the day after, it started. And I realized that this relationship was holding me back and preventing me from entering into my future. That has happened again and again and again in the last 20-something years. And it's going to happen some more. Because you know what, guys? I have not reached perfection. And I still, every day, have to let go of things into the hands of Jesus Christ and say, God, I yield. I surrender. How many times I've sung that song, I surrender, but I didn't really surrender. I kept holding things back from God. And you know, God always wins. God always wins. I love the end of that verse that we read. It says that he has the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. God, Jesus, can subject all things to himself. It just takes time. And if we resist him, it's only more painful. God, make me more mature. Make me able to release these things into your hands when you ask it of me. Instead of waiting and waiting and waiting and having you tear it out of my life. This is a season where God is going to ask you to let go of something of your past. I'm talking to you as a person. I'm not talking to your wife. I'm not talking to your husband. I'm not talking to your friends. I'm talking to you. God is going to ask you to release something so that you can step into this new season of growth in the Spirit of God. I don't know what it is. Maybe you don't even know what it is. Well, maybe you do. Maybe God has been speaking to you for some time now, asking you to release something to him. You know, if it's something evil, it's usually easy because you realize that it's not good. But when it's something good, something we like, something that is not a sin, but God is asking you to release it into his hands, that is harder to release. Whenever God has asked me to stop sinning, I agree with him because I say, oh, God, yeah, I agree with you. I need to repent. But when God asks me to release something that I don't consider to be a sin, that I consider to be something good, something that I like, that I enjoy, that is virtuous, but that is not what he has planned for me, that is always harder to do. But God knows what he's asking for. God is not trying to empty you of everything and make you feel empty inside, trying to frustrate you. What he is trying to do is capture your heart entirely. He wants you to be on fire for him, that your soul would be consumed with his presence day and night. That's what the Lord wants. He's after everything. He's looking for everything. And if you keep one thing back, that is the thing that God is going to ask of you. Even if it's a very small thing, even if it's hardly anything, God is going to ask you to sacrifice that on the altar because he wants it all. And sometimes, you know, God asks you to give him things that he's going to give back to you. He just wants you to sacrifice it. Remember Abraham and Isaac? He just wanted Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, but he was going to give him back. Sometimes we just need to learn to yield to the Lord. You need to let go of your yesterday if you want to embrace your tomorrow. This is a time where many of us, we are going to feel like we are in a cocoon. You know the story of the caterpillar, how for a few months he lives on the leaves and he eats leaves and he crawls around. And then suddenly something weird happens to the caterpillar. He doesn't understand it, not that I asked him, but I'm sure he doesn't understand it. Change starts to happen, and he ends up in a cocoon, being completely transformed into another being. And I read up a little bit about caterpillars recently, and I have a friend who's a biologist, and she told me that practically every part of the caterpillar is transformed in the process of metamorphosis. Practically the whole caterpillar changes to the point that there is practically nothing left of the caterpillar once it has become a butterfly. Some of you are going to be put inside a cocoon by God in this season, because God wants to accelerate change in your life. There are things you have been putting on hold. There are things that you have been saying no to God. Maybe you've been saying maybe. You know, we Christians don't say no, we say maybe. We say someday, we say soon. Which means like Jesus in 2,000 years or more. But to God, he says, that's a no. Your maybe, your soon, is actually a no, because it means not now. And when God is saying now, it means now. One time I was in Paris. I went to see a team from Pensacola, from Brownsville Assembly of God in 1998 or something, and they were ministering in Paris. And I was sleeping at a hotel. In the morning, there was a service with one of the pastors from Pensacola. And I woke up suddenly in the middle of the night because I had a dream. And in this dream, somebody from my church got in my face. And she looked at me like I'm looking at you, Stefan. And she says, it's about time you grow up. And I woke up like that. Whoa. Okay, I went to the service. The pastor opens the Bible. He greets everybody, turns a few pages, looked like he was wondering what he was going to preach. And then he went like this, and he looked at me, and he said, it's about time you grew up. And that hit me like a slap in my face. And I realized that I'd been immature for God. I'd been immature because I was holding back. And you know, one of the things that I do, I'm a passionate person. I overcompensate. When there's something I'm holding back from God, I will compensate by giving him more of something else. And I will be serving him 200% in this area just so I can justify what I'm holding back over here. And I will hide it away from myself. I won't even realize it anymore after a while that I'm holding back something from God. A part of my heart is saying no to him, but I don't want to listen to that voice. The voice saying to me, you need to release it all into my hands. So I go, God, I'm all yours. I'm serving you. Look, Lord, I'm even tiring myself out because I love you so much. And God says, thank you. I love all of that, but this is what I'm after. That little thing that you left behind, because I want it all. I don't want your overcompensation, because you're just masquerading and you're pretending to be what you're not. I'm asking you to be completely mine. I'm asking you to let go. And some of you are exactly in that position. You know, it's the Christian who fasts for a few days to compensate for something that went wrong a few days prior. The Christian who sings louder on Sunday morning because in the week something wrong happened in his life. And, you know, I'm going to spend 3 hours praying today, Jesus, because you disobeyed back there. It was something you're holding back. God is not interested in that. That is just religious. God is interested in integrity, in humility, in transparency, where you can stand before him and say, God, I am not a perfect person, but God, I surrender all to you this day. And when I say all, I mean all. God, I give you every little part of my existence, of my mind, of my body, of my family, of my work, of my leisure time, I give you it all, God. And if there's anything in my life that displeases you, that offends your Holy Spirit, God, I am willing to release it into your hands. Even if it's something that I love, even if it's something that I enjoy that is not even a sin, God, I am ready to release it into your hands. What do you want of me, Lord? All he wants is for you to be holy unto him, completely his, surrendered to him. He wants you to let go. You have to stop trying to pull your future towards your past, hoping that God is going to reconcile your destiny with the situation you've been living in for a long time. You have to stop dragging your past behind you and trying to bring it into your future. You're going to have to let go of something if you want to enter into this new season. This church is in a cocoon state. Something is transforming. You haven't seen it yet. It's only begun. You know, the cocoon is just the outside. It's not the important thing. Things have been changing in this building, changing in the ministry here, in the teams, in the services. That is all the outside. But something supernatural is happening inside of us. And we need, as a church, to be ready to enter into the new season. We're praying for revival, but revival doesn't come. Revival is not something that comes. Revival is something that we step into. We are revived. God does not need to be revived. Something needs to change inside of us. And I can feel the Holy Spirit yearning, crying out to each one of us this morning. God is saying, let go. Let me transform you from a caterpillar into a butterfly, from living in a two-dimensional world to step into a three-dimensional world. I love it when that happens in my life. Maybe there are like three or four seasons in my life where I really experienced what it means to pass from one dimension to another dimension. Suddenly, I was capable of doing things that yesterday I could not. Suddenly, I was free and able to release things that yesterday I could not release. Suddenly, I was able to respond to God, to receive from God, to encounter God in a greater way than yesterday. But every single time, God asked me to sacrifice something and to give up something. I've been a stubborn caterpillar, refusing to go into the cocoon. You know, there's such a big difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly. Caterpillars are ugly. I don't know what you think about them, but I don't find them very pretty. Butterflies are so beautiful. But in between, there is a season of transformation and pain. Caterpillars crawl, butterflies fly. Do you know that caterpillars cannot reproduce? All they can do is eat, 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 eat. And the only thing they eat is leaves. Butterflies, they drink nectar from flowers. Butterflies live in another dimension. And when you are a caterpillar, you cannot imagine becoming a butterfly. And what we do as caterpillars, we look at the butterflies. The people who have stepped ahead of us, who are doing things for God that we dream of doing, but we cannot believe that we are able to become that. And we look at all these great women and men of God in the world who are serving powerfully, and we're saying, oh, these people are far beyond what I can become. But you can become exactly what they are too. Because one day they were a caterpillar. Many of them, they just pretend they've always been a butterfly. I was born into this, really. I love those preachers who will tell you the stories of when they were a caterpillar and how often they still are a caterpillar before the transformation, because that really helps. I have not yet reached perfection, and I'm not a beautiful butterfly. I am still a caterpillar entering into the cocoon and trying to step out of it because I don't like the change process. I don't like the pain, and I don't like letting go of my past. I don't like letting go of the illusion that I have about myself. Sometimes I find my inability and my fear so comforting because I don't have to step out in faith. I don't have to try new things. But God is calling us to step deeper into His intimacy. And His call is going to become stronger and more powerful. And as a church, you are going to start to feel it inside of you. Prayer is going to become a thing again. We are going to become a praying people again. Have you realized that in the last decades, prayer has not been that important anymore in the Christian world? But God is releasing hunger and thirst in His people because this is a season where many caterpillars are going to be changed into butterflies. This church, you're going to experience something like that. God is doing something in that area. He's asking you to embrace the change. Now, you are going to go through pain because it's difficult to release the things of the past. It's difficult. What I think I am, what I think I can't do, what I think I will never be able to do, the illusions about myself. God says you can do far more than what you think through the power that I've put in your life. You can do infinitely more than the things you can think of and even ask of me. You can become someone that you have never dreamt of becoming. That is inside of you because it is the same Jesus Christ who rose from the dead who lives in you as the one who lives in me or in Pastor David. It's the same Jesus Christ, and He is trying to transform us from the inside out, trying to bring us into this new dimension from glory to glory. You know, that's my favorite verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Spirit of God is leading us from glory to glory. Now, I teach Greek at a Bible school, and you know, it doesn't really say that in the Greek. In the Greek, it says, away from a glory and into another glory. It's not the same. God is not calling us from glory to glory. Like in the bedroom where I'm staying at Pastor David's house, there is the light switch that you can turn up and the lights become more intense. You know that those switches? It's not that kind of glory to glory, like slightly more from degree to degree. It's not that at all. It's stepping away from a glory and entering into a new one. You have to release something from yesterday. I meet people all over the world who are still in the Pentecostal revival of over a century ago. And there's nothing left of it. There is no anointing, no power left. There's only the stories, but they're still camping over there. And every church in the world is camping somewhere. Where are you camping? Or are you ready to stand up and follow the glory cloud again? And say, Lord, we've had a great time where we are now, but this is the season where we're going to rise up and we're going to move to a new dimension. God, where are you leading us as a church? Where are you leading me as a person, God? I have been around this mountain one time too many. I am ready for something new, God. I am ready to let go. It's easier to let go if you've never experienced anything in the past. But when you've had experiences with God, it's harder. It is harder for a pastor to let go of his past than for a new believer. Because we know, we've experienced things. We've been there. We've done that. We know God. You don't know anything about God yet. What you know is a drop in the ocean of what you can. God is so much greater. And He's calling us out. He's calling us out into deeper waters. People, this is a season for you to make changes in your life and to stop resisting the Lord. Please listen to the story of my life. Don't force God to tear these things out of you. Because He loves you so much, I'm telling you, He will. But He'd rather you sacrifice them and say, God, I give it all up. I surrender. I surrender. I'm going to let it go because I'm getting ready to grow. And I want to step out into the things that you have planned for me, Lord. I'm ready to die to myself. Remember Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus was ready to go through a season of pain, of horrible suffering, because he knew that there was greater joy on the other side. Paul says that if we do not want to let go of our past, we are walking as enemies of the cross. What does it mean to walk as an enemy of the cross? It means that you don't want to die. You don't want to give it up. You want the glory, you want the success, you want the victory, but you don't want the sacrifice. You don't want the repentance. You don't want to surrender your life to God. That is the path of the devil, my friend. Because the devil was after success and glory and triumph without death, without sacrifice, without humility, without obedience. That is walking as an enemy of the cross. No Christian would confess, I walk as an enemy of the cross. Paul says to the Philippians, some of you, I have warned you about them, are walking as enemies of the cross. When do we walk as enemies of the cross? When we refuse to let go and to die. When we refuse to release the past, to step into the future. Because the new glory always requires that you go through a deeper dimension of intimacy with Christ crucified, leaving behind something of your past, leaving behind something that you think you are, something good, something bad, something that you are keeping, that you are withholding from God. He's calling you to release it into his hands this morning. Not to frustrate you, not to leave you empty and dry, but to release into your life a new measure, the new wine for the new wineskin. The new wine is ready. It's all over the place. The new wine is there. Angels are all over us carrying this new wine that they are ready to pour out over every person who is ready to release, to surrender their life into the plans that Jesus has for them. And they are looking, and they are looking, and they are looking. But we are so distracted as a people. We have a few minutes for God Sunday morning, and that's about it. God is calling us to more people. God is calling us to deeper waters. And this morning, I really feel that we need to surrender to God once again. We need to come back to him with all our heart. Paul says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, he wasn't talking about self-sacrifice there. He was talking about real death. Only a person who is entirely passionate about Jesus can say something like that. God, I am ready to die. I am ready to shed this dead skin and to dive into your glory for eternity. You have to be free to say something like that. One day, this will happen to each one of us. I really pray for you and for me that that is the way that we die. That we look at eternity and we say, God, I am ready to go. I am ready to leap again. I am ready to make another step of faith, God. I am ready to shed this old and decaying body and to enter into this new dimension of your glory. But as a pastor, you know, many times when we see Christians die, they don't die like that. Many times they die in fear, many times in shame and in regret. And they're saying, I'm not even sure I have eternal life. Because they've been withholding from God their whole life. And as pastors, we are there for them, and we comfort them, and we love them, and we pray over them, and we tell them the gospel once again. We pray with them. We help them through. But the process was meant to be glorious. The process was meant to be spectacular, where you just shed this world
as an old skin, and you just enter into the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what God has for us. And you know what, my friend? If you haven't learned to die on a daily basis in this life, you will not be ready for it when your day comes. Death is only the final stage of growth, where we grow so big that we are beyond what our earthly body can contain, and we are ready for the glory. Oh God, make us so full of your glory that this flesh, that this blood, that this shell that we are living in could not contain it anymore. And that this desire inside of us would be just crying out to you, Lord, I want more. I just want to be released, Lord, and I want to dive into your presence. You need to let go if you want to experience something like that. If you surrender everything to God, times of refreshing are going to come to you. And you are going to experience an anointing upon your life like never before. He will come and he will visit you during the night. He will visit you in your workplace. He will visit you in your leisure time. And his fiery presence will consume you and give you an appetite for the things of heaven. And you will yearn and you will yearn and you will yearn. And this yearning will become your prayer. It will be a prayer for revival, a prayer for transformation, because you are being transformed and you want everybody around you to be transformed as well. This morning I was looking at Sister Betty and Sister Rose worshiping during the service. I was looking at them because we had a good time in Punjab not long ago. And I missed them. And I could feel their spirits yearning inside, calling out for glory, for something greater. But many of us, can I just be honest, we're not yearning for much. We're dry. We are dry, and we need God to come down. We need God to touch our hearts. We need God to bring us back to that place of brokenness, that place where our spirits are contrite and broken before him, where thirst and hunger for him come back, invade our souls again. This morning he's asking you to come and release something into his hand. I don't know what it is, and I'm not going to call it out. But if you feel that there is something that you need to release this morning, that you need to let go of, that you need to give to Jesus Christ, there is a grace in the Holy Spirit this morning to release you from that. And there is a grace this morning in the presence of God in this house that the transformation, the metamorphosis will begin anew in your life, and you will become, you will start to change and to be transformed in your inner man. And new desires are going to come. New appetites for the things of heaven are going to come to you. And you will desire God in a deeper way. There is a grace for that this morning. And I feel in my spirit that there are burdens and there are chains that are going to be broken off people's lives. If you would just respond right now and come forward and say, God, I surrender all. Come. Come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come into the presence of God. Just come into the presence of God, my friends. We need you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we need you once again. Jesus, make us desperate. Make us desperate for you, Jesus. Oh God, we don't want you just to change the outside. We want you to change the inside and everything else in between. We want to become new wineskins with new wine inside. Bursting, bursting, bursting with life. Wow. Yeah. 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 Relationships that need to go. Been holding you back. Mm-mm. Habits, behaviors, ways of thinking about yourself. There's some people here. God is showing me a few women, your mindset. You've been thinking so little of yourself. You see yourself as weak and small and unable to do anything for the kingdom of God. God is breaking that stronghold in your mind right now as I speak. It goes. Go. All those strongholds. You are not who you think you are. You are greater. You're not a caterpillar anymore. The butterfly is coming out of the cocoon. God is breaking you free. God is breaking. Somebody, a young man, sacrificing something to God right now. And I can see a chain falling off. He's setting you free, young man. He's setting you free. You have believed in the past, but you've been disappointed. Today is your day. Right now. Right now. It's coming off of your life. Just lift.